You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies.
This is AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show.
It's AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, AfterBuzzers. Bing is for doing, and welcome to Netflix original series, House of Cards, Chapter 10. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is...
Hi, guys. Emma Kostandian.
Hi, Sophia Stanley.
And John Comerford.
John Comerford's in the house, Sophia Stanley's in the house, and Emma Kostandian is in the house. And we're going to discuss this crumbling House of Cards that's building around Frank J. Underwood today. You guys, the pressure is on Frank.
Yeah.
And we start this episode off with him meeting with the president and
one of his weekly
Linda.
Meetings.
You're right, one of his weeklies. And they want answers. Yeah. As to why this watershed bill
failed.
Womp womp.
Yeah, poor.
So, do you think that they bought his explanation or his? I can't really say it's an excuse or explanation. I guess he's just like keeping them at bay right now.
I think
he gets it together.
I think that it wasn't that they weren't buying it. They wanted, I think the president really wanted to know, why was there all of this information saying that the count was a definite?
Right.
It's one thing for there to be a bill and it to be close and they don't lose.
Right.
I mean, they don't win. But for there to be so much media coverage and articles being picked up that it's a definite win for the Democrats, that I think is what the president wanted to know about, because the president, I think, rightfully or wrongfully so, is giving Frank a lot of deference and thinks that Frank is really in control. So he's basically like, what happened? If all of this intel is saying this,
And they needed an easy win because they had that big old fight with the education reform bill. So they wanted, because his presidency, first 100 days, is forget that. That's already long gone.
Right.
And so they can't get off they're trying to get running and they can't.
That's right. Go ahead, Emma. You were going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that the meeting would have been even more sour if he hadn't done that favor for Linda. So I think that saved him a bit in the meeting because she wasn't acting out. She wasn't backlashing at him like she usually normally does because she felt guilty. She left to go to California.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's been neglecting her son, so she needs to go. And handle
Can I throw a little bit of a wrench?
Please.
In this scenario?
A wrench.
I don't know how to say this. I'm going to have to say that. Do we really think that Stanford wouldn't have let in?
Yeah.
Because her title is she's chief of staff, right?
Right, yeah.
Do we really think that they would have declined his application?
I know that's a tough one. The reason why they gave us is that the provost was a Republican. So,
I missed that. So, thank you. That's my answer. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I missed that.
And I'm guessing that they would have. But, wait, there's a Republican in Stanford?
Right.
But I'm guessing that's what they were trying to say because it could have been political in that regard.
Thank you.
But I had the same kind of thing. It's like, wait a minute, chief of staff, even if you are a Republican, that's good for the university. Why not to have that? But who knows? I mean, I don't know.
Right. So as soon as he steps out of that meeting, who approaches him? Was access.
Zoe.
But she saves him if you really think about where he's going next. But go ahead.
Yeah. She does save him. I don't think that was her intention.
No, because I love the way she said it. I fed you, now feed me. Let's go. This is the relationship we have now.
It was more of, just like John said, I fed you, now feed me.
Yeah,
that information for her was throwaway information. And she wanted the juicier
something
better of what was really going on.
But go ahead.
I liked how she was like, I fed you, but it wasn't, her having sex with him. It was her being kind of on the same level as him by giving him information.
Right.
And remember how surprised the look on his face? He was, oh my God, Claire, what? Like the look on his face was like he did not expect that.
He didn't believe it at first. Yeah. And her confidence and
well, also
how she was convicted, but it was like, at the same time, like, whatever.
Well, because she threw at him, and she even said it. She threw facts at him.
Right.
She goes, I don't care what makes sense.
Right.
I'm giving you facts.
Right.
And I think that's something that Frank really understands.
Yeah.
And more importantly, she verified it from two different sources.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't
actual real good journalism.
Very good journalism, because she has her own other sources in Abrams and Vandenberg's office. So now she can throw something at Frank. And that would put Frank on eggshells for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, she has other sources in other places.
Yeah.
She's just not relying on him for information, even though he's the majority whip and she gets the juicier information from him.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to take the time to put the pieces together of the puzzle, they can figure out the big picture anyway. It's just easier for her to get the whole picture from Frank.
But he's hoping that, you know, most people go for the expedient route. He's hoping that she'll do the same thing and not do all that homework, I'm guessing.
Right. But in the back of his mind, now he has to think, well, now does she really need me? She's obviously, if she can get me, because to a certain degree now, even though he was using her, now she has him.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's kind of in her back pocket,
mm-hmm.
especially since she's played her, he's played himself with this whole sexual relationship thing that he has going on with her. So now he's just, I don't know, Frank. Francis,
yeah,
buddy.
And
anyway.
She takes it one step further, because she even dangles Slugline. Not dangles,
right.
but threatens.
Right.
Like, she was like, this would make a great story.
Right.
And he's already seen firsthand how quickly the news disseminates from a source like Slugline,
right.
because he built it.
Yeah.
He built this machine. So all it would take is literally before she could even turn around and get to the elevator, she could send her story.
Right.
And not only that, remember how he was so effective with his... shall I say, proxemics with her. He would step forward into her and stuff like that. And then he tried it again, didn't work.
Yep.
Right.
So stepping forward, trying to tower over, trying to overpower her just with his presence, it's not working anymore.
Right.
But I think Sophia said it all along that, you know, he's been undermining her and what her capabilities are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she really proved it in this episode by showing that, you know, you have to give me respect.
Yeah. But this is interesting, because he set Zoe up and Peter to kind of put them in a greater arena than they had been. And both of them got confident. Both of them got a little cocky. And then with Peter, I know we're jumping ahead, but Peter, he's so easily boom.
Mm-hmm.
Cut a man's ambitions in 10 seconds or whatever he says. Not able to do that with Zoe just yet. But that'll be interesting to see if he will do that later.
I mean, let's talk about Peter, because now Peter... he has to be aggravated. Nothing has been solved
right.
for what he was. The whole point of him getting behind the watershed bill was simply to have a cure to the shipyards closing.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's not happening now, there's still no jobs. There's they're not any better
deliver.
Off. Yeah, there's no better. He's no better off than they were before.
Yep.
So now it's like, what is going to be the resolution to this problem, Frank? And now Frank can't dangle this whole thing over his head about him being, you know, Frank is, poor Frank. I think he's still underestimating people. He's proving time and time again that he's underestimating the wrong people, and he's putting them in a position where where they can hurt him.
Yeah.
He's doing it himself.
Yeah, and he has an answer for Peter, but not for Zoe just yet. I mean, clearly he's put her in a position where he can hurt her, and looks like she's gone, too.
I think he's out of plays, just because we've never really seen Frank play chess before, but in this episode, he's actually sitting down and playing, and I think he's, in a way, it means he's trying to master his skills again, because he's lost it. All the pawns he's used have now gone up against him.
And he says it's a rebellion on all fronts, as
right.
Claire and Russo are going. In fact, I go back to what Sophia was saying about how Claire is the much more calculating one. I think she's way more thinking many more moves ahead than Frank is. I don't think Frank's the great chess player. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but up until this point, I think he has considered her to be a pawn, not a queen.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting that in that chess match, when he's talking about Peter, he's actually moving the pawn. And when he's talking about Claire, he's actually moving the queen.
Well, I think Go ahead, Sophia.
And I think to piggyback off of what you're saying, Emma, but more so what John's saying, is that I think he's literally playing with himself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's not playing with anybody right. else, right? And no, I think no that arguably the problem has been his concept of his role,
mm-hmm.
because he has not been playing like he's the king. And I think that's really the problem. So I think now he's trying to realign himself and figure out what's what. However, I think the problem is I still can't figure out, and we come to see Claire can't either, what is his goal? He right. keeps talking about this bigger goal, this bigger goal, this bigger goal. But think about it. The only big goal that we were ever aware of mm-hmm. was Secretary of State.
Yeah.
We have argued whether or not he wants to be president. And last episode we talked about that simply, or not simply, but given the fact that they don't have kids, mm-hmm. that would be a very untraditional family. And that in of itself would be something very avant-garde for us as United States of America
right.
to elect someone who mm-hmm. doesn't have kids, our concept of family.
Right.
Right? Then what's their goal? And that's what, for me, has me unnerved, because the quickness with which, you know, he basically is going to destroy Russo,
right.
that didn't seem like the correct move to me. Yes, did I think that Russo was on some levels out of line for threatening him?
Yeah.
Yes. However, given Russo's background, that's the only thing he knows how to do.
Yeah, but it's interesting because he also told Stamper, okay, he served his purpose. Let him get him back on his feet, because they're still going to use him, but he served this purpose. So all along,
Stamper was the one that's known what his yeah. plan is.
And I'm assuming Claire knows. We're not privy to it yet. But I thought it was interesting that Russo's already served his purpose, or probably in a fashion that was far more quickly than they had thought he would. But they still want to use him. They still need to get him back yeah. on his feet, because they still need him for whatever else. And we don't know what that is. And then he said, also, Frank said, and now the vice president comes to the fore. So clearly, whatever they're planning, and it has to do with the Pennsylvania, and I'm sure it has to in some way deal with the next presidential election, and they want Pennsylvania to in some way be so important that only Frank can deliver.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It only seems logical that he's the one that planted the seed with the vice president. Remember, you spoke with him?
Yeah.
How did they not even consider your...
That's horrible. Blah, blah, blah. How could they do that?
Has the vice president placed... on the gubernatorial campaign with Russo.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's over there feeling himself with this influence mm-hmm. or wanting to be back in mm-hmm. the position of where he was the governor mm-hmm. at his prime. He's going to miss that. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that Russo is no longer useful,
mm-hmm.
well, why not get the governor back to where he felt like he was useful?
Yeah, but how, I mean, that would be so interesting. I've never heard of a vice president during the term.
I think there's going to be some things you haven't seen.
I don't like that.
And I went down the same road you did, Thaddeus. Yeah. But then I did the same thing John did. I go, well, can he?
Yeah.
I go, how do you do that? And then this is the thing is, for what purpose? Is it because Frank wants a vice president slot? Like, even though we've been talking that Frank isn't looking two steps ahead, I have to look two steps ahead. Mm-hmm. So what's the end goal? If you put Matthews back to Pennsylvania, then the only reason would be
to open up the vice president candidate,
or else you would have just pushed Russo.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, that would be the only thing that would trump Sec of State.
Mm-hmm.
But would it? Because we just talked before that that's where you go to die.
Unless your aim is the presidency.
Right. But for Frank,
okay.
He honestly thinks that he, in the same position as somebody is not any good
right.
at, he could spin and mm-hmm. he could okay. use his wherewithal mm-hmm. to maximize the power and wield himself power and whatever that position is.
Okay.
It's just like every episode I make an assumption about something, and then comes the next one and I'm like, what? I was like, oh, you know, Stamper, yeah. you know, really cares about this girl and, you know, he's looking out for her. And all along, it was planned out, and she served her purpose as well.
I disagree. I disagree because for the first time, there were at least three definitive moments where I felt something from Stamper that was different than normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think we're going to jump ahead a little bit, but even when they're at the apartment and basically she gives him the money, he doesn't want to hug her. Like, he wants to, because you can tell Stamper, there's a part of him that wants to connect with someone, mm-hmm. but that's just not who he is. He doesn't want to hug her because he knows that there's an attachment.
Right.
Think about the last time there was a money transaction.
Yeah.
She literally, you know, took off her hoodie and he's like, no, like, mm-hmm. that's, you were done with that, right?
Right?
But basically, he's asking her to do that again. It may not be with him, but he's asking her to do exactly what She's left. She's come completely full circle that she has a job, that she can afford to pay $850 a month for rent. But basically, he's like, but I still need you to go back and even for one night, be a prostitute. Yeah. I think he's conflicted about that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was too. I thought he had real conflict.
I just mean, like, overall, the whole show, you know, how I do agree with Thaddeus that I think in a way he does want the VP. But, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm not really sure. But then with, you know, how everything else has gone, I'm like, I give up.
Well, let's talk about
what's going to happen.
Let's talk about his frame of mind, first of all. And going back to him playing chess on his own and him not being on a united front with his queen, which is Claire. He's playing chess alone. Then he made the statement, there's a rebellion on all fronts, as John mentioned. This guy is the guy who is the field general. He's not acting as a king. He's acting like the guy who is the general in the field. Mm-hmm. And he's using everybody as a pawn, so to speak, because
even Claire.
Now, the reason that he is losing control of his troops is because he really doesn't, he's made it all too clear that he is exercising his power over them. He is not looking after their best interest. He's been looking after his own best interest, and he's even started to exercise that even with Claire.
Hasn't been delivering on his promise.
And he has it. Now, you can't be a good field general. You rather have you have a higher percentage of winning a war that your troops believe in you and love you than have them feel like, we'll be destroyed if we don't. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll be killed or we'll be punished under fear of exercise or for fear of. That never works. He has a much higher, and this is why everything is imploding, because.
But I don't think he knows how to do that. I mean, even him going to Claire's office to reprimand her like a child, I'm like, what are you doing?
I think it's because, though, he isn't playing chess. Like, he's a child. Like, he really is a lot more emotional than I think we realize. Like, right. He realizes
he's
that...
He's certainly been petulant.
Exactly. I mean, because he doesn't even stop to think, like, okay, crap. You know, he has a meeting with the two House of Representatives to verify that, in fact, Claire sold him out, right? And he does that. And I think it's very telling that the first time he, you know, pushes down the little toys and is like, now you should, that's your cue to leave. Right. But the second time, he leaves them in the office, right? It shows the cyclical nature. But more importantly, he's just exploding. He's not thinking. Like, he literally is basically kind of like, how dare you? I can't believe you did this to me. But I think that, to jump on your analogy, Thaddeus, I actually think he's very good at kind of basically being like, I am the person you should follow. That's not who troops follow. Troops follow something higher.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to get inside their head. Like, you serve for country.
Right.
Right? You serve for a higher purpose. You don't, the general is the embodiment of your country or your cause.
Right.
That's what Frank isn't doing.
Right.
And that's why even Claire says, like, what are we doing this for? You haven't been including me. If there was something grander than Frank, that she can get in line with.
Yeah.
She's never, because she's like, this isn't what we signed up for.
Right.
So even when he says, like, my stuff is more important than your stuff, no, it was that grander cause.
Right.
If it's just about you, then I'm not party to this.
Right.
And I think that's what Frank isn't realizing. Frank isn't delivering higher. And that's even why Zoe says, I fed you, you feed me. Right?
Right.
It's not just about Frank. It's about something higher for her. Same thing. What he did to his detriment is he ignited a fire in Russo. Where Russo not only believed in himself, he started to believe in Philadelphia again.
Yeah.
That whole new fresh start. That's what they were believing in. When you take that away, Frank isn't enough to sustain them.
Right. He's giving away his leverage because his plans are not actually coming to fruition. I see the roles with him and Claire in their relationship. She is more of the husband now, and he is more of the wife.
And explain that you gotta go one step further for me before I comment. She's
taking the bull by the horns. She's the one that's always composed. Usually, you know, stereotypically, the woman is always yelling at the man and blah blah blah. That's some kind of perception that, you know, she's blowing. He blew up at her like he was nagging her, like
that, so he
like
was being like more the naggy how
like. What's that?
He's being more emotional. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. He's making more emotional decisions than she is. She is actually the businessman right now, and she's
the business
actually,
person.
Sorry, I meant that in quotes. Sorry. So yes, thank you. Thank you, Sophia. She's the business person right now that is actually taking charge and making the actual calculated moves from a non-emotional stance. It's all business. And Frank is not all business right now. Frank is doing and making a lot of emotional choices that has nothing to do with, just like she called him on it. I think you don't want to kowtow to somebody that used to work for you. Mm-hmm. That's an emotional choice that has nothing to do with business. He's tried to keep it business, but because his plans keep falling through, it started off being emotional with him not getting second state. So he's had that under wraps. And now because other things are unraveling, he's becoming more emotional because he had an emotional reaction to the reason why he went on this whole
and let's be clear,
thing to begin with.
I think the fact that Zoe wanted to stop, I think that hit him emotionally.
It did.
He's not willing to look at. He doesn't want to.
I mean, you see how my whole thing is, you see how he stood up when he wanted an apology. It was like, like a girl. I'm sorry. I just felt like he was like a high school girl.
That is not fair.
I just felt
not
like.
Not a woman. It was a girl. Young.
I said like a girl. I didn't say a woman. I said like a girl. Like a girl, he stood up and was just like, she said there's one more thing.
Stamped
and he stood
his
up. And that's his posture and his body language and his, you know, I felt like, sweetheart, please. Please don't punish me. That's how I felt his body language was like and how he was responding, and he didn't even get the reaction he wanted. Now he's acting. Look how he's reacting emotionally to her.
Okay.
He's completely emotional. It's not about business, which this is supposed to be a professional relationship. You had this girl where you wanted her and using her for the media outlets that you wanted her for. You don't need this sexual thing. And now you're getting upset because she's cutting it off when it was never really about that anyway and blah, blah, blah. It's just like,
but
come on, dude. You're not, you know.
He's upset because, as he said, sex is power, and he was stripped from his power. Because she doesn't want to sleep with him anymore.
Okay, but I honestly think that Frank is trying to convince himself that the audience should be drinking his own Kool-Aid when he breaks the fourth wall and he's telling us what's going on. He's trying to convince himself. It's not just a simple narration of what's going on. He's telling his perspective of things, and they oftentimes don't go that way. We've been shown that they haven't been going the way that he even sees it, because it's really just from his perspective when he does that.
I think that's a great point, because I think it really is only from his perspective, because even in that conversation with Claire, he basically was like, when he comes to the realization that Remy was a party to killing of the Bill, he goes, oh my God, you did this for Remy?
Yeah.
And she goes, no, I did this for me.
Right.
He can't conceptualize that, because in his mind, Remy is his world.
Right.
So you did this against me. He can't even actually conceptualize that it actually had nothing to do with Frank. It had everything to do with Claire and Claire's own desires and Claire's own needs, which Claire has time and time again brought to Frank, and Frank has simply ignored. And I think that that's why they have to have that conversation where she goes, okay, then I need to know where I stand with you.
Right.
Are you using me like you're using everyone else? And she doesn't really ask. She's really telling him that it's the way that it is. And for me, I think that, and what was the word you used? I use childish and you use
impetulant.
He does that again in so much as then he basically says, oh, is it your hot flashes? So here he's messed up on several occasions. He's screwing this reporter that he can't control. He's created this monster in Russo who's now threatening to bring up the Kropansky, and I know I'm saying his
Kropaniak
situation. You know, his wife arguably lied to him and killed the Bill because she wanted to, for good reason or not. And then you want to discredit her argument by bringing up hot flashes?
Yeah, that was stupid. I'm like,
I honestly,
why? What was wrong with that?
I'm a guy's guy, and I was pissed at him for making that statement. Yeah. I'm like, dude, really? You're gonna dig yourself that much deeper in a hole making that stupid comment to your wife? Are you kidding me?
What?
You say that to somebody like Linda Vasquez, who you don't like, and you don't give a you know what about what she thinks or says, because she deserves to be, you say something cynical to her
you
or whatever.
You just want
to
demean her.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you just want to, you know, whatever. You don't, not, dude, your wife, really, bro.
Yeah.
And you're talking about this. This has nothing, obviously has nothing to do with that. Don't try to demean or condescend.
No. But go
ahead.
But John, you brought up, and I apologize, Thaddeus, the comment about friends being the worst enemy.
Yeah.
Say it, it was offline.
Well, you know, earlier in previous episodes, Frank had said that friends make the worst enemies. And I went, yeah, couples make even worse enemies.
Yeah.
That's true. And the way they're acting with each other, they're clearly not on the same page at all. And it looks like this could get really ugly between the two of them. Because not only did he say that, which if he says that, and he did say that, excuse me, when he says that, it means whatever argument she has does not have any value. There's
discredit everything she just...
And to bring it to the level of... Oh, was it that?
After everything she said was completely valid and completely within her right to say... Yeah. He tries to discredit it.
You know what he sounded like?
That's how far gone he is.
Like, when he went on CNN and made a fool of himself, that's exactly how he looked.
And it also,
I thought it was great. I mean, just for TV watching, I'm just going, what?
It was great for TV watching.
Horrible.
But it also sounded like his lunge at Remy when he had the meeting with Remy. And he told Remy that you're being foolish. And then Remy was like, let's not make this personal. Mm-hmm. Remy is keeping it business. Mm-hmm. Claire has realized, okay, I got to step up and keep things business because Frank is getting off track. It's the same thing. So I think, you know, and even the way she kicked him out. She kicked him out like, go to your room. Like like a 13-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
Go. And she didn't even yell.
Okay,
she didn't
even
yell. Get out. Get
say
out.
That again, Emma.
But he was like, oh, okay, I'll see you at home.
Yeah, I'll see you at home.
Well, he knew he screwed up at that point. But
I do agree with John. That is a very important point.
Yeah.
He said that as the door was open to make it seem like
perception.
To everyone else, the perception. But again, she has a glass office. And I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but again, what's the saying?
It's
like, people in glass homes shouldn't throw stones.
Yeah.
No, seriously. So that is even more disrespectful that he came to her office to reprimand her. And she works in a glass office.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And but I do love the way she took handle of the situation by going to Zoe's apartment.
I was just about to talk about that.
I applaud her for doing that. It was just... She didn't go and yell, scream, do any of that, which I think he would have done if he found out she was doing the same thing. Well, now find out, but if it came down to that. And I think she just basically denied Zoe of any real power she had in the relationship with Frank.
Well, and again, we talked about this last week. Once, you know, and it was Stamper learning that Rachel is no longer... Once you see them as human, it's too easy to say, oh, she's just a wife for the other woman or whatever it is. Now it's a human being standing in front of me, and it becomes a whole different thing. It's hard to keep in denial when that
happens.
And
I think it had a lot to do with, is it Jillian?
Jillian,
knowing that she was pregnant from a married man.
Yeah.
Now, I think that pushed her even further to go...
Sorry, I actually slightly disagree with that. I think it was purely for her own reputation. Because towards the end of her conversation with Frank, Frank goes, people know. And she goes, what people? And he goes, this could be a story and it could ruin us. And once the story's out there, it's out there. And then he has to basically tell her, oh, no, it's Zoe that knows.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, oh, I thought you could control her. Mm-hmm. So basically what she did was she was like, I obviously have to control. You're not controlling her. I have to.
Yeah.
And I have to, for my own semblance of any reputation I have left.
That's what I agree. I
have to adhere to it. I think in that situation, it had little to do with kind of like emotion from the standpoint that Jillian's pregnant and this girl could get pregnant. I think it purely had to do with she's like, wait, now this is affecting me.
It's the same way why she couldn't get Frank to help her with the Secretary of State. She couldn't get anybody except Remy to help her with the Sudan and stuff, the water treatment supply stuff. So, and here she is. Oh, so now I have to do this, fix this with Zoe because you can't do that either?
Yeah.
And I was a little uncomfortable with how she left when she was like playing with Zoe's hair. I'm like,
yeah, that was weird.
I disagree. I disagree because
she had
again,
to get in her. She played that.
But then
perfectly.
Because it's power.
Yeah.
And again, because I think we have to really again think about there's a difference between sex because people are into each other and like Frank said, sex is power. So even the way that she even bounced into the apartment, notice she was a lot more airy than she normally is. Mm-hmm. Like she even did like a spin. She was looking at her clothes and she came over. And even though she was playing in her hair, and it was John who actually noticed it, the height difference and the way they shot it, she was so dominant. Yeah. And you could tell that Zoe could barely look up at her.
Yeah.
It was basically saying, I can do whatever I want in this moment.
I'll squash you like a bug.
And there was the whole spider incident later. But the way she was dressed... Yeah. I mean, she came in, she was, I mean, she looked great.
I completely agree.
She was taller. I mean, what?
She looked better with
that. Zoe was wearing a little boxer.
Totally. And basically what she's saying is, like, you're nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you're even less than some young thing that he's sleeping with, because I know everything. And I want you to not only see me face to face, but know that technically, just like John said, Claire is a gorgeous woman. Like, so Zoe, other than for youth... has nothing on Claire.
That's right.
And she's basically saying, like, yeah, you're part of the transaction, and you thought it was just between you and Frank. Yeah. Now I'm letting you know it's you
and
I. That's
how powerful I am. I can let it happen.
Exactly. However, and I think, though, this is why I think Claire thinks a little bit quicker, possibly, than Frank, because at the end when she goes, oh, maybe you're not so naive, because she felt the energy, and she was like, you know what, this one, I'm not quite so sure. And I think that even in saying that to Zoe, that was enough respect for someone like Zoe to realize, and that's why I think Zoe started to implode. If she hadn't done that last comment, Zoe then could have hated her. That switch of basically saying, you know what, maybe you're not a child.
And that's there's a little bit of it where it's almost like she gave Zoe a little bit of safe face. But almost, the other thing, it gave her something to think about, like, you could be so much more. Well, look where you are and look what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's not only that. Somebody that views somebody else as a threat, nobody's going to take action on somebody that they think is not worthy of action. If she actually plants the seed in her mind that maybe you're not so naive, that says maybe I might have to do something because that makes her a threat. So the fact that she says maybe you're not so naive and walks off, now Zoe has to think that, oh, she thinks I'm a threat. Something might happen to me. Something may go
down.
That's
brilliant. I never thought about that.
So
I didn't go
that's that why she played both sides of it and then left her with the, maybe you're not so naive.
But that's a great point.
And walks off.
The way they shot the scene, again, I'm just going to go back to it. They almost had Zoe pinned against the wall, but in a different way than when Frank was pinning her against the wall.
Yeah.
But and then later on, just the height difference was there, the way she looked, comparing the two ladies, the way they looked at each other. And then the next time we see her in the house, in the apartment, she has to leave because she felt so small and trapped. And the last time we saw her in that place, she was trapped. I mean, it looked like the spider was about to kill its prey.
I liked how Claire mentioned the spider. That really did a brain, to Zoe. But the thing also with that was when she was by herself and she was, throwing away her old trash and garbage or whatever, I think she also had a realization that, what am I really getting out of this?
Exactly.
What I'm really getting out of this is nothing. It's worthless compared to what I deserve out of this situation and what I could be getting. And I think that's why she saw the crack in the ceiling. Yeah. She has this dirt. Like, and Frank is not doing nothing for her, she couldn't do for herself.
The fact that she's still living there, and I was thinking about that, I'm going, usually, they say if you're going to go into the psychology of it, the place you live is a reflection of how you feel about yourself. And, and here she is looking at all this stuff, and it's just kind of sick and disgusting and rank, and you're going, and at some point that all of a sudden that comes and hits her and goes, ooh,
right,
what am I, what am I doing?
I'm trash.
Yeah, exactly.
And
trash.
It was mold, right, in the ceiling.
Everything.
It almost looked like there was throw up on the carpet. Everything.
It was
the garbage
leaking,
was leaking.
But
it looked like there was throw up on the carpet. There was mold on the ceiling. Go ahead, Emma.
But I think the mold, how I took it, it signifies that it's rot and it's old. And you need to replace it, or you need to patch it up, do something.
Oh, and I took it one step further. There's no hope.
Yeah.
Like, it's just decrepit. Like, it's already past you can't repair it because mm-hmm. They went to too many things. It's like she's throwing away, you know, moldy food. Then she tries to pick up her trash. It's leaking. She's mm-hmm. literally on her ground on her hands and knees cleaning. Mm-hmm. That, again, I think was meant to be a submissive position. And right. that's when she gets a better viewpoint mm-hmm. of where she is by being down in that position, which theoretically she's been the entire time.
Yeah, she just
she just didn't realize it and looks around, and every single place she looks in the bed, it's decrepit. She looks at her clothes.
Where did she
go
to for solace or for some sort of safe
And that
harbor.
Actually surprised me. Right. I read that wrong. Yeah. I thought she was going to Frank's.
Interesting.
Really?
I really did.
And I thought, you know, the one thing that, even though she didn't really like working with him, she does respect him. She respects his integrity. It feels, I don't know, this is complete speculation, so I'd love for your input on this as well. It's almost like that's clean.
I completely agree with you. And her word, adorable.
Clean. Yeah.
Like, what was clean?
Him, just Lucas.
Being with Lucas is compared to what her life is. The fact that she knows Lucas to be a man of integrity, or at least in a working relationship, he's a stand-up guy. Even when even in his drunken, awkward approach to her, she found it adorable. Because there wasn't really anything underhanded or skeevy mm-hmm. about
it. He just put himself in a vulnerable position to express himself as
a guy. Yeah. She described mm-hmm. it as adorable.
Yeah.
And I think Claire does the same thing with Adam when she mm-hmm. goes over to his apartment. I just loved how open it was, and there was light. There was mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned the starkness of their home, mm-hmm. Sophia.
Just going back, I don't think I've ever seen light.
There's no warmth in
there. Well, he better have good light. He's a photographer.
In their house.
Yeah.
Well, with Claire and Frank. Right. Yeah. But with Adam, it was just, there was life. Mm-hmm.
And
and the only reason I mentioned Zoe is because how she was dancing with the girl, with Adam's
Claire
friend.
Claire was dancing with Adam's friend.
It just felt too comfortable.
See, and I feel like the reason they did that was to show that Claire isn't this unfeeling person. Mm-hmm. That she's a normal person who can go out and have a good time and be loose. And I think it was John who brought it up, and I didn't realize initially, she's wearing Adam's clothes.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So I think it's just that she's carefree. Like, and I see where you're going. I didn't necessarily read it that way. I really just read it that she was open, she was free. But the only point that I wanted to bring up real quick is the fact that Frank brings up, as he's alone at home mm-hmm. at his window, mm-hmm. that the neighbors wake up at 6:45, and 6:45 is normally when Claire's running. Mm-hmm. And then the stark contrast mm-hmm. between being in New York and the picture that Adam pulls out of Claire just seeming so beautiful and so serene and so innocent and at rest and at peace. And he said, I took it at 7:00 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Normally, right. in her normal life, she would be out running. And then she specifically says, I sleep so well when I'm here. Mm-hmm. So what is she literally and figuratively running from at home mm-hmm. that she's up at 6:45?
Yeah,
in contrast,
very well done the way they... Because when we first see Frank, he's home alone. And then we cut to the party sequence. And she's having a ball. Mm-hmm. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's having a good time.
Yeah.
And his routine is messed up because she's not there. And then I caught the whole same thing with the 6:45 mm-hmm. and the 7. And she's running. And I'm going, interesting.
They live in a vampire coven. Yeah. It's like a vampire den where they live. Yeah. It's cold and unfeeling.
And I'm going, well, Claire, what are you doing? I mean, I just find the dichotomy about what her life is and what it seems that she would like it to be, but maybe just for a respite, maybe just for a vacation mm-hmm. from that. But it's interesting that she resonates. She lives. She has full life there.
This is the first time we've seen her laugh. Like she laughed from her stomach, like with her whole I almost wanted to be like, giddy. I know that's she's Claire. Giddy. Thank you, laughing, but I can't. You know what I mean?
It's like she was on a vacation. It was it was like a spiritual venting.
I mean, little touch of what her history was like with her mother and the fact that she wants to be beautiful all the time and smile all the time. That's why she scowls. I mean, so she's running. She's rebelling from what her mother wanted. And it's like, wow, interesting. So much.
Russo was having fun as well.
Russo's not having fun anymore.
Okay, and can I...
Go,
Thaddeus, go.
We got to wrap up here soon. Yeah. I want to get an opinion very quickly and briefly on the symbolism of why Frank had his meeting at the barbecue spot with Remy.
To me, there was this that meant
something, and I was trying to figure
here's
out.
Here's what I don't get. This is what I was like, what? I'm throwing an implausible flag. Are you kidding? Remy is his chief of staff for I don't know how many years, and he doesn't know that Freddy's joint is his secret place?
Right.
I have a hard time believing
that. And he said, no, I'm okay. I'm not hungry. I wouldn't bring my... He said, but I wouldn't bring any of my
clients
here. Unless
it's a new secret place. Yeah, but clearly, that part is good.
I actually never thought about it. The only thing that I can think about is Frank's trying to bring him back into the fold.
Yeah, I thought that was
Does it make sense? So because that is his sanctuary, mm-hmm. before he was trying to treat Remy like an enemy, and now I think he's trying to bring him back into like he's family, but even more so family than anyone else, because that is his secret spot.
Because remember the last meeting was they were professional, they were sitting opposite each other, you know, there was no
formal.
Yeah, roll up the sleeves, I think that's what he was trying to do, is kind of schmooze him.
Yeah, right. But still not, because he knew what he was going to do with Russo. So that's where I'm confused. Right. He almost set up Remy to be like, oh, hey, we're going to give you Russo, but we're taking him away at the same time. So I'm confused.
Well, no, I think he did that all along. He just wanted Remy to set up Russo so that the whole thing
Remy benefit from that? Was Russo the sacrificial lamb?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I think. Okay. But we didn't even talk about Russo. Yeah.
We'll talk Russo. And it's really funny that he got hooked up with Rachel again, didn't recognize her.
Didn't recognize her.
I think like that. That was so funny. But he's just the degenerate that I always thought he was.
Well, tell them about iTunes. They can carry on the conversation. We'll jump online and tell them.
iTunes, you guys want to jump on iTunes, you guys can check out the podcast anytime. Tell a friend, comment, and listen. And
give us your theories.
Give us your theories and thoughts. Go ahead, Sophia.
Or on YouTube. Like, I'm very much a YouTube person, so you jump on there. Because we did not talk about Russo, and we are dying to. So I'll probably tomorrow jump online and put some theories on and start the dialogue on YouTube.
Perfect. And next time you guys can call us 424-256-1729. Sorry, but there's so much juicy information on this show. Chapter 11 next week. And we'll go from there. Where can we find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter at Sophia Stanley.
You can find me on Twitter at IMMAK and Instagram Emma_3xK.
Yeah, you can still find me building the third studio.
And you can find me here covering Vegas on Sundays at 5, besides the show at 4, as you guys well know. And Instagram and Twitter, Club Thaddeus. Until next time, After Buzzers.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.